Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, whose coming we are getting ready for. 8, 9, 10, ready or not, here I come. But I'm not ready. You counted too fast. I don't have a hiding place yet. And so the argument ensues. If you know anything about hide-and-seek, you understand the rules. It is the seeker who gets to count. It's the seeker who gets to yell, ready or not, here I come. And yet sometimes the hider would like to change the rules. You can't count that fast. You're supposed to count to 50, not 15, whatever it is, because I'm not ready. I like the rule when I'm the one counting. In fact, I might even count a little faster than I normally do because it's kind of fun catching the people not ready. But if I'm the one that's trying to hide, then I would just as soon change the rules. You and I are in our third Sunday of Advent season. You and I are in the process of getting ready. And this third week of Advent, our lessons have reminded us that Christ is going to come, even though there are some who really don't want Him to come. They turn it into a game of hide and seek, but we'd like to change the rules. There are some who would like to say, I'm not playing. Which therefore should mean that Jesus just won't come. There are some who would like to say, I'm not ready yet. Thinking that perhaps then Jesus will sit back and say, okay, well then you just let me know when you're ready. And then I'll come. Get ready. The Advent season reminds us, ready or not, Jesus is going to come. And so with the help of the prophet Isaiah, the first lesson that we have before us from Isaiah chapter 61, let's focus in on that idea. Ready or not, here He comes. He comes to preach. He comes to provide. He comes to plant. Those three things will give us our focus this morning. We read from the first three verses. The first lesson would also include verses 10 and 11, but we're going to zero in on the first three verses of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release for those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a cloak of praise instead of a faint spirit, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord to display His beauty. This is the word of our Lord. Ready or not, here He comes. He comes to preach. Okay, first question, who's He? Who is it that we are talking about? Especially in the last half of the prophet Isaiah, you and I get to listen to the suffering servant, the servant of our Lord and God who had made a promise already back in the Garden of Eden that one was going to come. We often refer to Him as the suffering servant. You're familiar enough with those passages from Isaiah. This is the one who was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. This is the one who was cut off from the land of the living, and who could speak of His descendants? But even though this is often talked about as the suffering servant, we also know that once His suffering is done, He's the triumphant servant. True, He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. Yes, He was numbered with the transgressors, but He did see the light of life. Who is He? It's Jesus. And He comes to preach. Jesus is the one who steps in. Ready or not, here He comes, and you and I are given a list of things that are part of His message. We rejoice and we marvel that He comes to preach, and when He does, He brings good news to the afflicted. You know what the good news is. It's the gospel. The good news of who Jesus is and what He's done. You also know who the afflicted are. It's us. You and I need that good news because Satan is going to be there and he is going to afflict you and me in any way that he can. So you lost your temper again, didn't you? Satan's going to be right there to remind you. You didn't keep your promise, did you? Satan will be there to point it out. So you sort of mindlessly sat through the process of hearing the word once again, didn't you? Didn't really pay that much attention, kind of assumed you'd heard all this before. Satan's right there to ask you, what kind of believer do you think you are, treating God like that? No matter what the sin is, no matter what form it takes, Satan is going to be right there to remind you and me, and we can't argue with him, that we deserve nothing from our Lord and our God. We deserve only hell. We are not ready for him to come. We will never be ready for him to come. Not on our own. He comes to preach that good news. That good news that tells you, despite the afflictions that you and I have, despite the sin that you and I know about, whether it was the lost temper or the mindless worship or whatever it was, there is good news. You are ready. He comes to preach. He comes to tell you that all those sins have been taken away. He comes to tell you that that's why Jesus arrived. He is your perfection. That's why Jesus has come. He comes to preach to tell you that He is your sin. And He made your payment. And He sets you free. So He brings good news to the afflicted. He binds up the brokenhearted. As you and I think about those sins that we just brought to mind, it breaks our hearts. It breaks our hearts to think about how last Sunday we came here, we confessed our sin, we rejoiced in the forgiveness of our Lord and our God. It breaks our hearts to think that day after day we were thinking about that Advent season. We read our meditations, we've been in our Word, but we still sinned. And maybe it was the same sin. And we join with the Apostle Paul when he says, what a wretched man I am. The good I want to do, Christ comes. And he takes those broken hearts and he carries it to an amazing gospel. And he puts your heart back together. He wraps his arms around you and he declares you free from sin. Binds up the brokenhearted. He proclaims freedom for the captives and release for those who are bound. No longer are we slaves to sin. No longer are we captives of Satan. You and I have been set free. Set free to tell Satan to leave me alone. I belong to my Savior. Set free to follow in my Savior's footsteps. Not to try to do the things that he did, but to thank him for the things that he did. He sets us free. That's what he comes to preach. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Isaiah takes us back to the picture of the year of Jubilee. Perhaps you remember that in Old Testament ceremonial law, every 50 years, you got to start over. If you were a slave, you were set free. If you lost part of your inheritance because it was taken from you or you had to sell it, you got it back. The slate was wiped clean, and every 50 years you got to start over. He comes to preach. And every time you hear those amazing words, you are forgiven, you get to start over. The slate is wiped clean. Ready or not, here he comes. He comes to preach. We've been talking about Jesus this entire time. Are we sure that's who Isaiah is talking about? We are absolutely sure that's who Isaiah is talking about because Jesus himself told us. As he stood in that synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, he read these words from Isaiah chapter 61. In Luke chapter 4, we're told that once he got done reading those words, he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, looked right at those people gathered before him, and said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He comes to preach. He comes to preach a timeless message. Imagine those in the days of Isaiah as they were facing the Babylonian captivity. How comforting it was to hear him come and to hear that servant say, "I am going to set you free." Imagine those in Jesus' day, under Roman rule, yes, but even more importantly, under the delusion of the Pharisees, how wonderful it was for them to hear that they have now been set free from trying to save themselves from works they couldn't possibly do. A timeless message for you and for me even today. Today you and I are under the influence of humanism, that idea that says we can take this godless world, and if we just love each other enough, and if we just try harder, we, without God, can fix this godless world. How comforting it is to know that God is coming with His favor and with His grace. He comes to preach. Ready or not, here he comes. And as that list continues of the things that he comes to preach, you and I rejoice that he comes to provide. He comes to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a cloak of praise instead of a faint spirit. He comes to provide comfort. There is a lot to be mournful about. The sins that we just talked about, my sins against you, your sins against me, the sins that we see in the world around us, there is a lot that cause us to mourn. There's the struggles that we face. There's the arguments that we have. There's the laziness that we go through. The list could go on and on and on of all the things that cause us to mourn. And yet he comes to provide comfort, the kind of comfort that only Jesus can give. It's almost like he takes off the old clothing and wraps us with brand new garments. He's talking about a crown of beauty instead of the ashes that are part of mourning. Oil of joy instead of mourning. A cloak instead of old ratty, droopy attitudes of despair. Reminds you a little bit about baptism, doesn't it? As you and I marvel what Paul said at the end of Galatians chapter 3, those of you who have been baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. He comes to provide everything necessary so that we don't have to mourn. Get ready. Ready or not, here he comes. He comes to provide. We need some happiness. You've heard it said over and over again. You've heard people talking about it. You and I are living at a time and in a setting and in a situation where people just need some happiness. Even the retailers have figured that out. Yes, they still would like you to come into their store and they'd still like you to spend the money, but I've just kind of noticed that it seems a lot of the advertisements are focusing more on the togetherness and the family. We've got to find some reason to be happy. I don't know if it's just me or not, but as I've been driving around town, it seems like there's a few more lights and they're just a little brighter. Ready or not, here he comes. No amount of lights, no amount of happy families gathered around a tree portrayed on a TV screen can give you the kind of comfort that he comes to give. In fact, the lights and the family time all comes because he comes to provide. A comfort that says your sin is removed. A comfort that says no matter what you're facing right now, no matter unhappy you may be right now, heaven's still yours. Your Savior is still here. Ready or not, here he comes to provide that comfort that only he can give. And with the preaching, and with the providing, He comes to plant. There's a reason He comes with this kind of comfort, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord to display His beauty. We're not exactly sure what kind of tree Isaiah is referring to. It seems like the most common translations I've found are terebinth. That doesn't help me much. Or oak. Some seem to think it's some kind of an evergreen tree. Obviously, it's something that's strong and sturdy. Finally, that's the point. That's what God wants you to be, right? He wants you strong. He wants you sturdy. He wants you alive. And so He comes to plant. We don't plant ourselves. We don't grow because we feel like growing. We don't produce fruit because we've decided this is what we're going to do. He comes to plant. And that's why you're here. That's why you're watching. That's why you and I gather in this place, and you and I are in this building, which is set up and designed to remind us that the reason you and I come here is not so much because this is something we are coming to do, but because God is here to do something for us. He plants with His means of grace. And you look to the front of our building and you see a building that's set up to remind us that the means of grace is the focal point. You and I are here to hear what God has to say and to receive what He gives. He plants faith in your heart through this amazing gift of the gospel, this power of God, which is the salvation for all who believe, this sharp double-edged sword that's able to cut the sin away and then heal you with an amazing message of forgiveness in Christ. He comes with that amazing water of washing of renewal and rebirth in our Lord and our Savior, where He adopted you and took you from being a dead, unrighteous tree and planted you into His family to be His oak of righteousness. We come to this amazing supper where that suffering servant takes the very body and blood, and now that body and that blood communes with the bread and the wine, and then He comes to you and Jesus communes with you for the forgiveness of your sin. He comes to plant. Through constant contact in that means of grace, through constant contact with that gospel, He plants faith in your heart. He builds faith in your heart. He strengthens faith in your heart so that you can handle and stand before whatever it is that comes along. Ready or not? Here He comes. If it wasn't for our Lord and our Savior, we'd still be running around pretending that He wasn't going to come, doing whatever we thought we were supposed to be doing. If it wasn't for Jesus, we'd still be running around trying to find that perfect hiding space, assuming that we would find some place where the all-knowing, all-seeing, and holy God couldn't find me. But with Jesus, we are ready. And we don't need the or not. He comes to preach. He comes to provide. He comes to plant. We know who Jesus is. We know why He has come. We know what He declares us to be. We're ready. Amen.